We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. Joe has read our text, and I think you're familiar with 1 Corinthians. I hope you are. I will just introduce a little bit of this entire book just so briefly, but I wanted to point out something to you before we got to our text, which is verse 9, that says God is faithful. This book, this epistle, this letter of 1 Corinthians is so different from 2 Corinthians. Both were written to the church at Corinth. They are only two of four letters that we know of that were written by Paul to the church at Corinth. But these two are part of course, God's Word. And what makes them so different is they are a before and after picture. The second epistle to the Corinthians, Paul is writing to them, commending them for the fact that they had so thoroughly repented. But in this book, he's calling them to repent. He's calling them to change. He's calling them to recognize some of what they're thinking and what they're doing being so wrong and how that really needs to change. The good news is they did change. But if you're familiar with this book, you know that in 1 Corinthians, there are so many problems. I mean, there's a guy who's, perhaps the most notorious issue in this book is this man who was living in open immorality with his stepmother. Now, that's not the kind of behavior a church should tolerate among its members. But in addition to that, they were going to, they were suing each other in this church. They were denying and doubting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's any number of other things. There's all kinds of problems in our culture, even in 21st century, around the world, really, not just our culture, with what speaking in tongues is. And a lot of that is derived from this book. And yet, what Paul was writing was to try to clarify that, but what people do with it is make it so confusing. I say all that to say this. In this book, it is just issue after issue after issue after issue in this church. This is not written to some theoretical group somewhere. This is a church of believers in Jesus Christ who yet have all of these problems in them, in their church fellowship. But I want to point something out to you with all that Joe read. Would you notice with me in verse 2, where God, through Paul, writes and says unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. They had all kinds of problems, but they were sanctified. Past tense. Tremendous hope there for you. What are you struggling with? You're normal. Hey, look down at verse 5. And I'm just picking up very brief high points, but verse 5. In everything ye are enriched by him. And he went on. But in being enriched, he was writing to this church that had so much sin in it. You go beyond, and verse 6 says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And he brought up that whole idea of being confirmed again in verse 8 when he said, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the point. Paul was writing to this church that was a mess. But he didn't write to them and say, dear church at Corinth, you're a mess. He wrote to them and he said, you are sanctified. You are confirmed. You come behind in no gift, he said in this passage. He went on and talked about how that one day they will be blameless. Now, here's the thing that we can learn. You and I have to be so careful to maintain hope. It's so easy to get hopeless, isn't it? It's just really easy. Our brother prayed this morning. I appreciate Chris's prayer. And he prayed about our nation. What a mess we're in. That's not all. Someone mentioned to me that last Sunday night there were only 6 people in the service. Now, I think he exaggerated a little bit far, because I actually watched you a lot of times when I could on the security cameras here and actually counted. But it was noteworthy that it was really off. And the attendance that was given to me by the ones counting said 38. But that's really off. You're a mess. No. That's not where I'm going with that. That's not where I'm going. The point is that, and there were several other things that were mentioned. This didn't happen, and there was confusion with this while you're gone, and this happened. I mean, evidently there's something messed up with the screen or something. I don't know. You know whose fault that was? No, you don't need to know. It doesn't. It's not about placing blame, okay? But I just wanted to encourage you. That's life. We're normal. Life is hard. Ministry's hard. Living for Jesus is hard. And Paul wrote to this church that had so many problems. And he talked about they were sanctified and they were enriched and they were confirmed. They come behind a no gift and all of that because he had hope. Why? His hope was not in them. His hope was verse 9. God is faithful. God is faithfulness. Now, there's a lot in Scripture about God's faithfulness, and we're late getting started here. It's already 11:38. The goal is for me to be in the pulpit at 11:25, and so we took longer this morning. Why is that? I'm not sure what happened there, but anyway, we'll try to get back on track with all these different things. And by the way, I listened to all the sermons my brothers preached here, and some of them went a long time. Did you notice that? And so I feel a lot of liberty to not do that. But anyway, good preaching, good sermons. But I will not be able to cover everything that I've prepared, but I'm going to do my best to at least give you the high points, okay? But we want to deal with this subject of the fact of God's faithfulness. Listen, if you get your eyes on your own faithfulness, you'll probably get discouraged. Because we're not perfect. And if you get your eyes on someone else's faithfulness, you might well get discouraged and pick on them, you know. But the key is to remember what Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He said, God is faithful. That's our hope, guys. God is faithful. We want to turn our eyes. We come here of all times, of all week. This is the time. Not the only time. But the time where what we want to do with our singing, with our praying, with our giving, with our listening and the preaching, with all of that, we want to get God in the right place in our own thinking, where we're going to put this aside and that aside and this aside and that aside, and try to seek to be under the glorious lordship and blessing of God so that we stay out of His way with what He's doing in our lives. One Bible dictionary defines God's faithfulness like this. I thought you might like to read it or to hear it. God's faithfulness is an attribute ascribed to God which exhibits His character as worthy of the love and confidence of man. And God reveals Himself as being faithful so that in understanding that, we will love Him and put confidence in Him. We got back on Wednesday night. Our cars had not run for 3 weeks. And so the next morning, I went out to start the car, and it fired right up. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I was going to go out and do some running around, and Janice was planning on going and getting some groceries and that sort of thing. And I said, honey, why don't you start the other car before I leave? And it fired up too. But we were surprised that they both fired up, and it was a pleasant surprise. Listen, you can't go to God without Him starting up. God is faithful. He is dependable. You can count on Him. You may not be able to count on your car battery. You may not be able to count on your job. You may not be able to count on your health. You may not even be able to count on your marriage. There's all kinds of different issues in our lives, but you can count on God. You can count on Him. God is faithful. When He wrote that, this church was not faithful. But God was. And that's where we want our hope to be, in Him. The dictionary definition went on and said, an attribute ascribed to God which exhibits His character is worthy of the love and confidence of man and assures us that He will certainly, that God will certainly fulfill His promises as well as execute His threats against sin. God's going to do what he says, positive and negative. This text reminds us that God is faithful. And it is as we understand and believe in, not just understand, but as we understand and believe in God's faithfulness and put our confidence in God's faithfulness, that we become stable as believers. That's how we get stable and fixed and settled. Because then we are building our lives on the foundation of God and His faithfulness rather than the shifting sands of everything and anything else. God is faithful. It is because He is faithful that we can rest in Him. So let me give you, I have 3 points, and on the first point I have 6 points about God's faithfulness. Okay, so I'll just go quickly, but you might want to write down the references. Okay, I won't take time to look each of them up. But listen carefully to how God describes Himself and His own faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3 verses 22 and 23 says this: "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Wow. That doesn't say anything about faithfulness. Oh, we'll get there. But the faithfulness and greatness of God's faithfulness does not mean as much if we do not recognize how very unfaithful we are. And when God's word says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, what God is saying to us is this: our lives and what we have done with His gift to us of life itself, what we have done with what He has given us, is so inferior. It falls so far short of His grandeur and His glory. We so don't measure up that it's only because God is so merciful that we are not eradicated, that we are not consumed. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Then he goes on and talks about His mercies and His compassions when he says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God's faithfulness is great. Hey, Psalm 89 and verse 2 says, "Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." What does that teach us? That teaches us that God's faithfulness is established. See, you and I are working at being faithful. We're not there yet. We're working at it. Some of you do a great job at being faithful to church services. Others, you got to work at it. Some of you might be doing really faithful at your workplace. I mean, you get there early, you stay late, you have a good attitude, you understand what you're supposed to do, you are making money for your boss, you are faithful. Others, maybe you struggle at it. Say, or you have many illustrations. That's not the way God is. God is not working at faithfulness. It's established. It's settled. Here's another point. God's faithfulness is incomparable. Psalm 89 and verse 8 says, "O Lord of God, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" The faithfulness of God has no comparison. It's incomparable. There is no one like Him. You can't learn about God and His faithfulness by somehow comparing Him to me or to my wife or to your husband or to your wife or to anyone else. There is no one like Him. He is incomparable. And one of the areas of where He is incomparable is His faithfulness. Here's another one. God's faithfulness is unfailing. It will never end. It will never quit. It will never stop. Psalm 89, 33 says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." You know, one day we're going to try to start our car and it's not going to start because it's going to fail. And one day, I hope this doesn't happen, but one day one of us, either my wife or I, are going to lose each other. It's going to happen, right? I mean, unless the Lord comes back or we, you know, the plane goes down at the same time or something, right? I mean, it's just, you say that's morbid. Sorry, it's reality. The reality is that I don't know how many times, countless times, that I've stood at an open grave and just poured my heart out, try to be a blessing to someone who is never going to see their spouse on this earth again and never have a conversation. I asked you to pray for Pastor Don Sumter and his family, not for him, but for his family, because he preached a sermon in his church a week ago on Wednesday, and Friday morning he was dead. Horrifying, just amazing. A big story and all that sort of thing. Thank you for praying. Just a young guy. Well, that's relative too, right? But mid-50s, something like that. I don't know how old he was, but he's considerably younger than yours truly. Hey, God's faithfulness is unfailing. One day our hearts are going to stop. One day our car is going to stop. God is never going to stop. His faithfulness is solid and established. Two other quick ones. God's faithfulness is unlimited. Psalm 36:5 says, "Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." It's a metaphor. It doesn't just go to the clouds and stop, but it reaches to the clouds because it reaches everywhere. It is unlimited, and God's faithfulness is unending. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." Psalm 119 and verse 90 says. Okay, so let's back up from that. God is faithful. Okay, now hopefully you buy that. If you take those verses, maybe some comments that I made, and you meditate upon that, and you think about it, and you take, maybe I gave you six, you could take one each day until next Sunday, and take one and mull it over and think about it and think about the faithfulness of God, and God works that into your life, and you come away with that thinking, wow, wonderful, I can depend on God. That's great. We know that God is faithful, but how does that impact us? I mean, the fact that God is faithful is great for Him, but is it great for us? How does that impact us? Well, let me give you a couple of things. It motivates us. Listen to how the psalmist talked about prayer. In Psalm 143, verse 1, he writes, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications, in thy faithfulness answer me." Why do we pray? One of the reasons why we pray, and one of the things that can really motivate us to pray, and to pray consistently, and to pray without ceasing, and to pray continually and constantly, and to pray about everything, and to pray without leaving anything out, but just to keep going to God and to pray. Why? Is because God is faithful, and we can count on Him. The faithfulness of God is a good motivation to pray because He faithfully listens to us. He faithfully answers our prayers. You can't say that about anyone else on this planet. I heard Brother Creed 2 weeks ago, if you were here, he talked about his wife. Not like Brandon talked about his wife's cooking, by the way. Sorry, there's a little zinger to throw in there. Sorry, couldn't resist on that. But he talked to, Brother Creed talked about his wife, and he said, you really laughed when he said this, I noticed. He said something about how his wife will talk to him, and she'll be in the middle of some conversation or something like that, and or some monologue, I guess. She's in the middle of saying something to him. And he said, every once in a while, she'll just stop and say, "Are you listening?" And he said, I'll say, "Well, of course, honey, I'm listening to you." And then he said, she will say, "What did I say?" And you laughed and laughed and laughed. And he said, "That's not fair." You know what? That's reality. They have a good marriage, as far as I know. They have a good marriage. But the reality is, sometimes we can talk to each other and it doesn't get across. We understand that. It doesn't have to be deliberate. That just happens. We have to be deliberate to listen. To listen carefully. God always listens to you. That's amazing. That is a motivation to pray. Hey, here's something else. We're motivated to talk and proclaim God's faithfulness. Psalm 40 and verse 10 says, "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." Psalm 89 verse 1 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 92:1 says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." When we see the faithfulness of God, it's a great motivation to brag on Him and to give testimony of Him. Certainly in our families to brag on Him. Certainly in our church to brag on Him. Listen, if you will not, if you find, you might ask yourself, are you bragging on God, as the scripture just said? Do you find that with your spouse, your children, if you have them in your home, that you are talking about God, that you are letting your children know day by day by day, listen, this is what God is teaching me, and this is what God convicted me of, and this is where I confessed to God, and this is how I gave testimony to God, and here is how God has encouraged me today. If we are encouraging and talking to other people about God's faithfulness, that's awesome. But if we're not, why aren't we? Don't get guilty on me. That's not going to help you to get guilty. If you're guilty, that's fine. But don't go there and just wallow in the mud. No, stop and recognize, oh, wow, yeah, okay, here's an area I need to tweak in my life. I'm not paying attention to God's faithfulness so much. I'm not bragging on Him. I want my wife and my children or whoever, I want them to know what I think about God. Same thing here. Listen, if you won't testify in here, you'll never testify to the lost, say. God's faithfulness can be a tremendous motivator to us to proclaim His goodness and His greatness and His glory. Here's another one. I'll just give you one more and then we'll move on. We can be motivated by God's faithfulness to persevere, to keep on keeping on. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." Think of that. Tremendous metaphor. Let's hold on to the profession of our faith. Let's not just let it slip away. Let us hold on tightly to the fact that we have professed our faith in God, and let us hold on, not just let it go or let it wax cold, but let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. But the verse goes on. It says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? God, for He is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:23. We do not persevere because we have good character. We persevere because God is faithful. That's the motive. Otherwise, it's a selfish motive. Otherwise, it's a self-oriented motive. Otherwise, faithfulness is driven from within us. That's failure. We want to be driven, if that's the right word we'd use. We want to be drawn. We want to be constrained by the love of Christ and His faithfulness. We don't quit because we know that God will never quit. He's faithful. But we're not just motivated. Let me go over this quickly here. The last point is that this, God's faithfulness provides for us. In other words, God, it's not just that God is faithful and therefore we should be faithful. But think of what Scripture, a couple things that Scripture talks about, what God has provided for us and blessed us and heaped blessing on us because He is faithful. Listen to this one. 1 John 1:9, I hope you know the verse. It's an amazing verse. The script, and by the way, as I read these, think about it and listen for the faithful word. What does he say? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, if you're clean, it's because God is faithful. Every time you take a bath, every time you take a shower, every time you wash your hands, every time you wash your face, every time you go from dirty to clean, it's as though God is saying, that's what I can do for your soul. That's what I can do for your life. I want to clean you up. You and I can be clean because God is faithful, and we can be stable and secure in that. Clarence stood here, a wonderful testimony. And just the whole idea of how he was raised in a church that sounds very much like this, and in a solid family, and somebody had counseled with him, but it didn't take or something, whatever you'd want to say. But he really goes back to that and says that wasn't real, it sounds like. What was that? I think age 7 or something like that. But God in His mercy continued to work on him. What a tremendous, I didn't know what you meant when you said a white knuckle, but that was great. In fact, I thought the white knuckle was going to be that when you were out in the boat somehow it capsized. That's where I was going. But the white knuckle is on the pew. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you in your heart, maybe you don't have a white knuckle on the pew, but maybe there's a white knuckle in your heart that you'd say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure. Maybe you'd actually say as he did. That's an amazing story. He said, I'm already saved. But you know what? Listen, you can be clean. What is dirty in your life that you would do anything to get away from? God can clean that. You can be clean. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Knowing God's faithfulness can make us certain that we are forgiven and cleansed, because Jesus died and rose from the grave so that our sins could be washed away. Hey, here's another one. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Because God is faithful, we can be stable. God never fades. God never wavers. And therefore, we can be stable. Yeah, but the difficulties of life, it's like they punch us in the face and they knock us down. Yeah, but we can get back up. If we look at the difficulties of life, we don't get back up. If we look at our falling down, we don't get back up. But if we turn our eyes on the promises and character of God and say, He never wavers, He never fades, I may not like what's happening to me, I may not appreciate what's going on, I may not understand what's going on, but I know my God, and I'm going to hold on to Him. We can be stable. And then last, we can be confident. 1 Peter 4:19 says this, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Wonderful promise that we can be confident in God. Psalm 119:75 says, "I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." When you think about that verse, even the trials and struggles of life are under God's faithful and sovereign control. God is faithful. You can depend on Him. But it's up to you. It's up to you. It's not a one and done. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was some kind of a way that I could hold up a get faithfulness quick, and some kind of an app, you know, and you put it on your phone or you put it in your pocket and all of a sudden, boom, it was over. You bought it, you paid for it, you're faithful, it was over, you were as established in faithfulness as God is. That's not the way it works. That's the way it is with the sun. That's the way it is with the seasons. That's the way it is with night and day. And that's not the way it is with sinners. We're struggling toward faithfulness. We're working toward faithfulness because we're working and struggling and seeking to be more and more like Him. You can depend on Him, and you can take any of these verses, dozens of verses I gave you today, and use those verses to attack your doubts and to strengthen your faith. Learn, instead of when doubts come, instead of thinking about your doubts and worrying about your doubts and meditating upon your doubts, learn to doubt your doubts. And learn to meditate and put your confidence in the words of God.